The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like it's better with you. My life, it's better with you. This is true, it's better with two. My life, it's better with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome, my brother and me. I see you. My name is Justin McElroy. I'm the oldest brother, and I see you.
I'm Travis McElroy, and I assume that what Justin is saying is a reference to the movie we're discussing today, your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
My name's Griffin McElroy, unobtainium. I don't know. I have not.
Guys, it's happening. It's happening.
I can't believe it. It's
Travatar 2.
Travatar. We're here.
Seeing my own brother cruising through the amazing. Amazing. Seeing him on the back of a Banshee or an Ikran, if you prefer the Na'vi tongue.
Hey, can I ask a sincere question as someone who has not seen
Trav,
either?
I'd love to answer all your questions.
Okay, I've not seen either Avatar movie.
Still same. Wild.
And I know very little about them.
You guys have seen neither movie?
Correct.
No.
Where does the title come from? Why is it called Avatar?
Are you kidding?
This is not just. You understand Justin's answer cannot be funny.
Yeah. Whatever. No, it's a sincere. I said sincere.
The sincere. You know about the Na'vi aliens, right?
How can you not?
Yeah.
They're on the beautiful blue planet of Pandora.
Sure. Okay?
Yeah.
We can't live
just
on
fucking
Pandora.
Constantly. They're just always, constantly, always be fucking nonstop. Yeah,
we can't they take time out to make little charms for your bracelets. But other than that, we
can't live on Pandora.
Obviously.
So we have these basically Na'vi, like homebrew Na'vi that we pilot from a tube, the space tube. And we pilot them around with our Earth minds. We pilot a Na'vi body.
Okay. And
that's our avatar.
So this is like the answer movie. Like you had, Deep Impact and Armageddon, right? And you had, Jurassic
Armageddon
Park.
Tired
and
of you not seeing Avatar, actually. Okay.
And you had like Jurassic Park and a dinosaur story. So
yeah,
no
problem, man. That was a great joke. Travis, you got to take a moment to stop and smile.
Well, I was trying to make my own joke. And now I know what it feels like to be interrupted. My thing was, so it's an answer movie to the Bruce Willis film Surrogate, right? Where it's like you have an avatar body that's even sexier than your body.
Can I actually tell you why I interrupted you? Because you were riffing on an old-ass movie by referencing another old-ass movie that nobody cares about. While Avatar The Way of Water is swimming to the top of the box office charts, I have to admit, here on the cast, I did it. I took the plunge. I had the perfect viewing experience, actually. My kids were in school, so at 12 p.m.
The witching hour.
12 p.m., I went to the mall, and I took an edible. And I timed it so that the edible would kick in right when the movie started. But I didn't, but it really raced through me. And I found myself high at the mall food court.
That's the worst the worst imaginable place, I think, for that to happen.
A big loafer?
No, because I had already eaten a big loafer before I got high, believe it or not. But no, I wouldn't. I don't like the big loafer. I went to Charlie's Cheesesteak and got some. Anyway, the edible kicked in. And I noticed that there was, at the abandoned bank, they had opened up an airsoft booth this is an airsoft place. So you just come into
like
this
a shooting range or a little arena for
a shooting range. Rules.
Yeah, it's an airsoft shooting range in an abandoned bank next to the Chick-fil-A. So I go, I roll up, and I'm like, I've never done this before. And he's like, I'll help you. And he's gave me 100 shots for $12. And I was pretty stoned at this point, and I just raised this airsoft rifle, and I start firing at the targets.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you're doing really well. I'm like, wow, thanks. Oh, he said, have you done this before? I said, no, I haven't. He said, but this is amazing. This is what he said after I finished. He said, you hit 45 out of 100 shots. I hit these little 10 targets. And that was amazing.
That's good.
And he said, you're only going to get better.
Nice.
So then I was very high. So I went to the movie, which is incontrovertibly 3.5 hours long when you bring in the trailers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any good ones? Any good ones,
so
though?
So happy. Got Oppenheimer. Ooh. Didn't get Barbie, but got Oppenheimer and got some other ones.
Was Cocaine Bear in there? It feels like Cocaine Bear would be
I've watched on not Avatar phone too many times that I haven't memorized. Yeah.
You don't think not it fits Avatar with Avatar? Before. I've never seen Avatar, but it feels like it makes sense.
So I slipped on the glasses and I was gone, man. I was in the world. Nothing could pull me out of it except for my app that tells me when I can go pee during a movie. Now, this movie had 5 built-in pee breaks, which was chef's kiss.
When one of the Na'vi turns to the screen and says, you can go piss now, Justin,
Justin.
I didn't want to pull myself away, but I did for every single pee break to an extent where the woman working behind the counter around pee break 4 asked me, are you not liking the movie? It's like, no,
Too much.
I was, by the way, solo mish at the Cinemark.
For your first one?
No, wait, I'm sorry. Avatar, you're saying the theater was empty.
Empty. No, Griffin. Empty. It was a pod. It was my own little Avatar pod there at the Cinemark Huntington Mall. By myself. No one was in it. I could just start shouting, I see you, Jake Sully. I love you. And no one cared. So I did. When the Ikron would fly through the sky. Can I tell you guys a quick spoiler about Avatar, Way of Water?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Sigourney's in it. Hell yeah. I know what you're wondering, Travis. Sigourney's character did die at the end of it. And the easy answer is that it seems like God got her Avatar pregnant.
Wait, that's the easy answer?
The easy quick answer is it seems like the god Ewa got Sigourney's Avatar pregnant. And then she had a teenage daughter.
At the end of what?
Played by Sigourney Weaver.
Wait.
Who Jake Sully adopts.
Wait.
That's the easy answer is it looks like God got her pregnant.
It looks like, what are you going to do?
The clean answer is it looks like God got her Avatar pregnant.
Okay.
Like what happens in the movie.
Judeo-Christian God?
Ewa.
Hoping.
Ewa, okay. The God from Home Tree. The God, Ewa.
Wait, got her Avatar, but the Avatar is not a real, the Avatar's like a suit or something?
Hey, maybe it's got all the right pipes. You know what I mean? It's got
no,
all
wait,
the
right pipes. No, wait, I don't know what you mean.
I didn't think that they needed to Bicentennial Man the Avatar aliens.
Yeah, they got
to
grow the Avatars. They're really expensive and they got all the right pipes. And God doesn't, when God sees a door, he opens a pipe in Sigourney Weaver's Avatar to put a baby there. It doesn't matter if it is right or not. And I'm getting into a little bit of speculation with this God got Sigourney Weaver's Avatar pregnant, but I'm pretty sure that if the more times I say it, the writer it sounds.
It feels right.
And that is what happened. Can I say you guys also, like, first 3 minutes of the movie takes about 20 seconds. Jake's just like, and one weird thing is the Sigourney Weaver's Avatar is pregnant, and it seems like maybe God did it. I don't know. Anyway, bye.
So
the other possibility, there's no other possibility. God got her Avatar.
Jake Sully says that's what happens, Justin. It's not speculation.
I don't know why there's...
Jake Sully's like...
He doesn't say it in so many words. James, Jim, to his friends and me, we... his words are obviously much more poetic than that. It's probably something about the life stream, Home Tree, that
whatever.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, but yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
Beautiful. Once we're underwater,
that's when
the movie goes underwater.
Oh, baby, it doesn't just go underwater. It goes through. It goes above water. It's got whales where if you drink their brains, it makes you live forever. I mean, it's like,
what?
It's
a great film. This sounds good. Hey, Juice, can the next hour just be you explaining everything you know about Avatar to me and Travis? Because it feels like that's the direction the episode's moving in. And it's been a while since we've done one of these. I think it would be a hoot and a half if you would just sort of regale. We're already 10 minutes in, Juice. This would not be a bigger commitment than what you're already doing. Just 50 more minutes of us.
I don't want to spoil the entirety of Avatar Way of Water for people. And honestly, I can't remember which is one and which is two. It's like one seamless 6-hour opus to me.
Now, Justin, you don't think who feels about Avatar in such a way that they have not already seen it, but do intend to see it at some point? It doesn't seem like that kind of movie to me. It seems like the kind of movie that either you're there, like camping in line to see it day one, or like myself and Griffin, you just never have the time.
I'll see it. I will see it. Or
there's one person on the call that saw it 3 weeks after it opened. Yeah. It's me. And I'm here.
Okay. He's not a hypothetical person. He's our blood.
I think everyone is in the audience is feeling a lot of relief that they don't have to listen to me talk about Avatar.
Wait, Justin, counterpoint. Hold on. You were the only person in the theater. So I think my point actually stands. You were the last person in America who hadn't seen Avatar who wanted to see it.
Okay, Travis, I'm going to flip this on you again. The other person I didn't see in there was any of our listeners saying, man, I can't wait to hear you talk about this for an hour.
That's fair.
Okay. All right. Good. Avatar Way of Water, I do want to give it a plug just because Jim's a friend. I'd love to see it.
Out of 8. It scored out of 100.
Wet.
Well, that's wet out of 100.
Stop it. Don't, for once in your life, take a stand.
Is it?
And tell me what score you would give Avatar 2, The Way of Water. Tell me out of 100 so it'll show up on Metacritic. I want your review to end up on Rotten Tomatoes. People will post Mabim Bam. And then the pull quote of Justin saying, like, it got me so fucking wet. I loved the part where they all just had sex nonstop.
I guess what I'm saying is it's contextual. That's what's hard for me.
So out of 100, you give it contextual?
Give me, say a number right now.
What's hard for me is that if I had not been under the influence,
okay,
it would have been basically unwatchable. How's that? But that's not my fault.
So out of 100, you give it 420.
Out of 100, I give it 420. Thank you. Yes. See it with someone you love. Don't see it by yourself. Probably other people. I don't want people to think I didn't like it. Not unwatchable. That was harsh. It's just so long, Jim.
It's really long, Jim.
It's so long, bud.
Hey, and Jim, make it easier on yourself. You could take less time between movies if you release an hour 45 movie.
Thank you.
In
that's
the space,
two movies, like, Jim.
You could have done that six years ago. And we could be on Avatar 3 by now.
Yes.
We'd be on Avatar like 5 or so. Hey,
the next you could one. Be on Avatar 3.
Shh. Listen, the next one. Listen. Fire Avatars.
Well, now you're getting into Avatar The Last Airbender territory.
There's Fire Na'vi in the next one.
No, they have to stick with water or they're going to get into some copyright.
Jim made a promise, Travis. Jim made a promise. He said maybe. And listen, when he came to Justin in a dream last night, he whispered into his ear, Fire Avatars, Justin. Tell
that anything? What do you think about that?
The other thing he said is, not all of the Na'vi are good.
Oh. Justin, what? If you want to learn more, I'll be in my secret base inside the Titanic.
Come what I'm find saying me. Is, not all of them are good. Some of them, the fire will be represented by the ash people. I want to reveal the Na'vi from another angle because at the moment, I have only shown their good sides. Jim, if you're worried you might be headed into some thorny racial territory, don't worry, man. Sounds like you're on super solid footing. This is going to go great. Bon voyage, James. have a wonderful film, my man. Sounds no problems there. Ding.
You've been down too long, James. James, you've been down too long. You got to surface, bud.
come away from the abyss, James.
James, you've been down too long, James.
You got the fucking bends, James. You came up way too fast from the deep waters, James.
Come up. Surface, James.
Come
slowly.
Come up slow, James.
You got too wet, James.
James. I am a professional saxophonist. When this comes up in conversation, 9 times out of 10, someone will say, oh, I love jazz. That'd be fine, except I'm strictly a classical saxophonist and do not play jazz. How do I break the news that I'm not as cool as they think? That's from Uncool Clinton Whistler in the country's capital.
You've never played any jazz?
You've never played one jazz.
Any jazz?
Little jazz.
Just a little, just a little jazz. I'm not saying you're not a professional jazz saxophonist. I
can scoot a few beats out for you, no problem.
I think I've done a little bit of music theory learning. I think if you want to turn your stuff into jazz, there's just like one note that you have to take it down a little bit every now and then.
Don't play one note in classical music and boom, that's jazz, baby. It's about the notes you don't play.
Well, no, you do still play the note, but it's make it just a little bit lower, and then that turns it into jazz.
And maybe faster.
Yeah, and funkier?
Well, now that's a little amorphous. I think it's
funky
easy
Bach.
To achieve.
Play me some funky Bach.
As somebody who's, I'm a sax monica player, which is not the same as a saxophone, but it sounds not unlike it once I start tooting around. And I'm
fooled every time. I'm like, whoa, is that a real reedy saxophone that you have in it? But it's the
now. See,
monica.
I'm more of a sax Chandler player, and Griffin's more of a sax Phoebe.
I'm a sax Ross, if I'm being honest.
No, Griffin, I would never put that on you, bud. I would sax Joey at worst. But a sax Ross, I would never.
What if there was a character on Friends who was called Sax Ross, and he or Sex Ross, and he would come in every season, maybe? And
like then a Stefan or Kel version of Ross? That was like cool Sex Ross?
Cool Sex Ross.
There was a, we're talking about Ross, and I have to relate this. There was a company called Long Table Pancakes that was on Shark Tank, and they make pancakes out of popcorn. Good. They emailed and they're like, we are big fan. They emailed the Sawbones address and they're like, hey, y'all, we just want to let you know we're going to be on Shark Tank. We're like big fans of you and we know you like Shark Tank. And I'm like, whoa, I'm going to watch this live. Watch what happens live without Andy Cohen, with Kevin O'Leary and all the gang. And they are doing their spiel and the cat from Long Table is like, and I got a friend who's such a big fan, he wants to help me with him. And out comes fucking David Schwimmer. And I'm watching this and I'm seeing David Schwimmer just like, who wants pancakes?
Yeah.
And then David Schwimmer's like handing out popcorn pancakes to the sharks. And it's like, guys, I'm glad you're a fan, but is this all an extended bit for my enjoyment?
Yeah.
Is this all part of the show? They're like, I know what will really bust Justin up a next level is watching Ross come in. And then Ross is like, P.S., not an investor. Not in any way.
Just a friend.
Benefiting, just love these cakes. Eat up. I think that is... answered your question.
I think so.
Take the notes down sometimes and it'll be
the notes down sometimes, play them different, Ross from Friends.
Yeah, there you go. I've got a new thing. So I've been thinking about versions of games I can play with you guys that are based on my own hyperfixations because it's all I know. And one of my hyperfixations is, I'm sure you boys know, is my fascination with America's fascination, the world's fascination in the 90s and early 2000s about cartoon shows about animals with abs. It's just a thing. It was so hyper prevalent. So I'm calling this game Abnimals. And in
I want to posit that it is unfair to say that this is the first game you've devised wielding your hyperfixation as the instrument.
I've noticed
it as a theme. Yeah. And now I'm just leaning into it. The first Abnimals show I want to talk about is maybe one of my favorite weird examples, which is the full title, Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa. And if you didn't know, COW stands for Code of the West.
What?
So is the full real? Title
can't
would be
stand for Cal because they're cows. They're
the
not
full
cows.
Title would be Wild West Code of the West Boys of Moon
Boys.
Mesa.
So wait, the title of this, I just want to say it again all together. Wild West, Code of the West, Boys of Moon Mesa.
Correct.
Unbelievable.
Boys Correct.
Boys of Moon Mesa is a really good Boys name of Moon Mesa. For a podcast.
That's Boys of Moon Mesa is my OC spinoff. Now we follow the lives of the Boys of Moon Mesa. A lot of abnormals, and I extend this, it's a pretty broad definition, which I include like gargoyles and such, but abnormals usually either deal with like space animals with abs or mutated animals with abs. And this one is the latter. They lean so fucking hard into this. Okay, so Cowboys of Moon Mesa dealt with a mutation where an irradiated comet struck the late 19th century Western Plains and created a miles-high mesa shrouded in clouds. This is one of the best sentences in the world. Everything trapped on top of the mesa was cowmatized by the light of the cowmet and evolved into a bovapomorphic state.
Fuck yeah.
Evolved is doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
Yeah,
huh?
It's in Wikipedia. It is in quotes.
Oh, well, that's good.
Evolved.
And then they were inspired by Wild West culture. So what I've done is I have pulled five real character names and one fake character name.
That's a
and
huge.
And I want you guys to figure out which is the fake character name.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Can we ask any follow-ups about the characters? Have you built a world for your fake character?
Yes, or... I can.
Okay. Okay. Okay, good to know.
And
are you familiar enough with the other characters?
Yes, I have the Wikipedia pulled up. I can read about all six of them. Okay, and I'm going to lean hard into the puns included. That's a big part. Okay, number one, Cowlerado Kid.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, Cowlamity Kate Cudster.
There's no way you thought of that. So that
Mayor
feels real to me.
Oscar Bull Oney.
That one doesn't even make sense.
Jessica Patty Lynn.
Wait, what?
Jessica Patty Lynn. Barney Finkelberg. Bat Blastagun.
Bat Blastagun?
Bat Blastagun.
How ripped is Bat Blastagun?
Bat Blastagun is a bat outlaw. And he's a bat in this one. They're not all cows, even though they were strictly cowmatized by the cowmet. Apparently, you have creatures. There's also
is
ghosts.
Traumatized a play on traumatized?
I don't know.
Is that where they're going?
But there are ghosts in this show as well.
Good.
Yes. But Bat Blastagun is an evil bat gang leader.
Okay.
Are there any of the other ones you want to know about?
No, I'm ready for my answer.
Okay.
Okay, can you read them one more time?
Yes. They are Cowlerado Kid, Cowlamity Kate Cudster, Mayor Oscar Bologna, Jessica Patty Lynn, Barney Finkelberg, Bat Blastagun.
See, hearing you say them again makes me want to change my frickin' answer. I'm ready. No, I'm not changing my answer.
Okay. Griffin, what is your
answer? Mayor Bologna. Mayor Bologna.
Justin, what is your answer?
Jessica Patty Lynn.
Justin has nailed it. It is Jessica Patty Lynn.
Yes!
Justin is the first winner of Abnormals.
Wow.
Hey, Trav, I'm looking at Wild West Cowboys of Moon Mesa images. Now.
Sorry, Wild West Code of the West, Boys of Moon Mesa.
Boys of Moon Mesa. I understand how your mind works, but there had to be a sort of on-ramp to you getting very like interested in looking into Calco to the West Boys of Mumesa.
Listen, I don't need to go. I'm not on trial here. This is it. I didn't know.
I'm not putting you on trial. I'm genuinely curious where Cowboys of Mumesa, Code of the West, Griffin, Wild West, Code of the West, Boys of Mumesa entered your mind somehow.
I told you.
This segment admitting that his brain does not function like many other popular brains you might be aware of.
Thank you.
this is a different talent.
I'm fascinated by the idea where someone said, you know what it is that people love about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? They're animals with muscles that shouldn't have muscles where the muscles go. So we're going to make sharks with abs. We're going to make mice with abs. We're going to make ducks with abs.
You're right. You are
toads, Travis, with abs.
You're the philosopher of a generation.
Here's another question. Today I brought some eggs to work as a snack. Trying to eat more protein, it explains unnecessarily in the question. Sadly, I forgot to eat them. Now they're in my lunchbox in my backpack, and I'm pretty hungry. I need to go to the mall after work to run some errands. Where in the mall should I eat my eggs? And what would be the best way to eat them without seeming weird? They are boiled and still in the shell. I'll be taking the bus to the mall. Should I eat them on the bus? This is from a peckish in Penang, Malaysia, which may be a first for us. I don't know. That's very exciting.
It's very,
I am a
very
little daunted
exciting.
Because that is a culture I am wholly sort of ignorant of, and I don't know vis-a-vis proper times to eat eggs.
I'm ignorant of cultures here in America as well. I'm ignorant across the board, so I'm not really worried about
that. I remember the first
time
I was in San Francisco, I saw them selling eggs at a convenience store on the counter. Just eggs, like hard-boiled eggs on the counter.
I love that.
That you could just eat them, and I didn't know that people even did that.
I just want to compare the two locations, just broad locations right off the bat, because it occurs to me the benefit of eating them on the bus, right? That is a defined, shortened time, right, of exposure of people judging you for eating the eggs. Now, it is contained. Right. So everyone on the bus is going to clock it, but it will be done quickly because then you'll get off the bus. In the mall, people are moving through, right? They may not notice that you're eating eggs, right? But then every time they see you for the rest of the time at the mall, they're going to be like, that's that person that ate eggs on that bench. Right. So it's, would you rather have concentrated focus on your egg eating or kind of a more flowy, ethereal focus on your egg eating?
Sure, sure, sure. Mm-hmm. If I could sort of take Travis's quandary here and maybe recontextualize it a little bit, and I'll just ask you, Travis, you have to rip a big 2.5 minute long fart.
Oh, God.
Would you rather do that on a bus? I'm going to look right at the camera so you are actually thinking, would you rather do that big fart on a bus or in a very large building where people might not even be able to see you? People probably aren't seeing you. If people see you, they will probably look away politely as quickly as possible. On a bus, Travis?
I understand what
you're saying. Here's the amount of air that's on the bus. That
just
you can
bus
turn
worth,
into eggs. That's a one bus worth of egg-free air. And then you're going to sort of spoil all that. Versus a mall is so big, you can egg up that air as much as you possibly can, and you're not going to make a pretty big difference.
What I'm saying, though, and I understand, Griffin. Listen, I'm not saying
I'm
you're
saying
not.
Science shit. I'm saying, like, physics science.
Okay, but I'm going to talk about human. I'm going to talk about human, like, psychology.
Humans is science. It's still science.
In a mall, people go there for people watching. They're clocking people left and right. On a bus, that's kind of a, like, timeout. Like, everyone's heads down on their own phones. They're not clocking people. They're specifically trying to pretend like they are, like, separate from everybody. I'm saying the bus is a transient, like, universe that doesn't. It's like when you're on a plane, right? There's different rules.
Justin,
no, but people
you've got to help
things
me out
on
here.
Planes. People have done many things on planes that I wish they wouldn't do.
Well, yeah, but you accept that it happens because
I accept that a lot of things happen that I wish people wouldn't do. That's different, right? Like this person, We can't just say, like, carte blanche, these people are all strangers. It doesn't matter how they see you. The whole thing crumbles. You can't take that out.
Society, civilization, dissolves.
Of course. You're listening to this podcast or are recording it. You are obsessed with what strangers think of you. It's fine.
Now I will say, because I do think Griffin's right, because...
Of course I'm fucking right. You can't...
I just said you were. Don't yell at me. So if I saw someone eating on a sitting on a bench, eating some hard-boiled eggs with the most serene, like, just like, I'm happy to be here, I would think, the thought that would pop in my head is, they've got it all figured out. Right? Just like, look at them. Happy there, just sitting, eating their eggs, peaceful, happy. Now, if you're trying to do it in a furtive, secretive way, I'd be like, what is that person doing? But if you're just sitting there like, oh, yeah,
Travis is almost right.
Oh.
Travis can do one thing and be right.
Can I respond to that first and just
hold on,
say-
let me ask. Hold on. I'm consulting the judges. Yes, they say you can. You may.
Any thought you have when you see a person eating an egg in public that isn't, I should move away, is a wrong thought. And on a bus, you can't
move away. I don't live my life,
away.
I guess, in the heightened form of judgment that you do, Griffin. If the person's happy, unless I'm deathly allergic to eggs where one being even present and it's something as big as a mall will kill me, it doesn't affect me one iota.
Jason Manzoukas just sat up like, yes, but what if? You are deathly allergic to eggs.
That's true. Jason Manzoukas is deathly allergic to eggs. So if you see Jason Manzoukas in the mall, you keep those in your pocket where they belong.
I don't think I would broadcast my weaknesses as much as he has, because I do not know that man.
I should not know his kryptonite. Anyway. I should say, along those same lines, Superman needs to play it cooler when kryptonite's around. He's really shown it. If you would be like, really, yeah, what's that? Cards. Green rock. I'm so
have
weird. I'm going to go.
The camera always cuts that guy, and he's always like, Okay, two things. One, what would be worse? Someone eating an egg or someone eating sunflower seeds?
Huh. Oh, man. The sunflower seeds are going to take much longer.
Any snacktivity like that should not be in, like, you have to be careful about the public venue. You have to be in a comfortable space, right?
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say, though, Travis could be right if... Mm-hmm. You, the first thing you do, and it's easy, is take out one egg and just give it like a, anybody? Anybody want an egg?
Okay.
Anybody? And then you eat the egg. They all say no, of course, because they're not, I don't know, a goat. Like, they're not, right. They're going to turn down your offer, but they can't get bent out of shape about it because that could be them. They had the opportunity to be an egg eater too. Or best case, one maniac is like, "Oh, eggs for sure."
Yeah,
and then you've got a partner in crime.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you got a.
This is my new game to go along with Abnormals, and it's under what context would you accept and eat an egg that a bus stranger gave to you?
A bus stranger, never. Now a mall stranger.
No, stop it! Don't you? Hey, I played your game good. You play my game good now. Get it, play with me.
How hungry and or stoned would I need to be? I think I would probably accept it, but not eat it ever. But
That's not the game. How, Travis, am I going to get you into this egg today is my question. Okay. What are the circumstances where you would accept it and
if
eat
I
it
saw
from a stranger?
A, like... strikingly, like, off-puttingly handsome John Hamm type in, like, a cool-looking fucking peacoat and, like, on-point scarf and, like, everything combo, pop open, like, a beautiful briefcase and pull
like
out
a cigarette,
two eggs.
Like a leather egg case. Yeah,
and he pulled
for
out
sure.
two eggs and not even asking, but just as if commanding, eat this egg with me, I would do it.
Okay. Can I simplify your answer? Can I simplify your answer a little bit and just say, if John Hamm was sitting across from me on a bus and pulled out two eggs and went to eat one and looked at me and said, "Hey, you want this?" I would, absolutely, I would.
Guys, I'm looking at pictures of malls in Malaysia. And they're fucking incredible. These things are palaces. I wouldn't be eating an egg in here. No way. No way would I be eating. I would feel weird in shorts. I'm not going to be eating an egg in these incredible malls.
These are amazing. These are amazing. These are these are cathedrals of
holy shit
business.
These incredible malls.
So most countries do malls so much better than us.
Well, we used to, this country used to know how to make malls.
Tell me about it.
And used now to stand for something. Malls.
We talk about capitalism here, but
Talk about speaking of capitalism. I'm going to take a stand right here, right now. And I'm going to say we should go to the money zone.
Thank you.
Wait, was that you?
That's me telling you guys to do the ad. Do the ad. Do your thing.
I didn't know that we could do that.
Justin, should I talk about Squarespace?
If I had wanted to engage with you during this period, I would have done it. I'm just
But that's what I'm doing. I'm not letting you out. I'm going to rope you like one of the cowboys.
Used Squarespace. Do you want to know the truth? The truth is I've used Squarespace to build websites.
What kind of websites?
Yeah.
I updated my wife's campaign website. I updated it myself. My friend Michael from the internet, he helped me make it. But then I updated it myself without really understanding anything, how any of it. And you've made websites with Squarespace, right?
Yes, I did. Several. I once made a website with Squarespace because I was participating. I was helping set up a a trivia pub crawl. And one of the paper answers was a URL to a website that I had built that was like the direction to the next puzzle.
I built the Things I Bought at Sheets website. I don't remember what it was, but what the address was. But I built that with Squarespace.
I bet you could build actual like good websites though to use for your actual business and not like the website I built that is a tribute to how good my dog is. Buttercup is a very good girl.com.
Right. You could build any website that you can dream of, basically.
And they're
incredible. It's incredible. And they got great customer support. All the tools are sort of designed. It's sort of like using blocks. So you just like drag the design element in that you like, and it looks like it looks good. It looks like a real website because it is.
You did that with GeoCities, right? I don't remember. You put GIFs all over the place, hamsters.
We're not plugging our dreaded competition here. We're talking about making pro-level videos with the Squarespace Video Studio app. Unless you sell products, digital or physical, Squarespace got your tools. This thing's unreal, guys. Go to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code MYBROTHER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Our next ad is for GeoCities. Oh, no!
Parenting. It's hard, but don't worry, you're not alone. Belly up to the low bar with One Bad Mother and let us remind you that fine is good enough.
They want to climb on different things. And how am I supposed to keep them both from dying?
There is a right way to do this. And if I can figure out that right way, I'm going to be a good parent. So that is not a thing.
So join us each week and let us tell you that you are doing a good job. You can listen to One Bad Mother on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
This week on Bullseye, Tom Hanks, as you've never heard him before. Mad.
You moron. Thank you for the use of the turn signal. Way to use your blinker, idiot.
That's Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Do you think they're going to mail all of us podcast awards for best ad read, or is just one of us going to have to like?
You got to share like the Stanley
share
Cup.
Share the trophy. Okay, cool.
Is that what they do with the Stanley Cup?
Uh huh.
They share. Yeah, everybody
cut
gets
it into like 20 little pieces.
Cereal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
They wish you wouldn't do that.
Well, of course they wish you would, but it's yours while you have it. You can do anything with it.
True.
Use it as a potty.
Shit in it.
See, we said the same thing in different ways. God. Yeah, let's do another question. Trying to help more people this year.
I just this morning started a new job at a greenhouse, and I noticed there's a dumpster outside filled to the brim with damaged plants or plants not pretty enough to sell to customers. I don't care about plants that are ugly now. I know they'll grow to be beautiful. I'm in New Jersey, so the weather has been literally freezing, meaning if I don't act fast, the plants will die for good. But I just started this job at 8 a.m. this morning. Is there a good time to ask if I can have some of those plants? The dumpster's right outside, so they'll definitely see me if I just take them from the bin. That's from Mean Green, maybe, stealing machine in New Jersey.
This is the best time to do it, because having just started, this is the time to be like, and what's the policy on the plants? Like, is that a free to a good home kind of thing? What's the deal with that? Because I love taking plants and kind of revitalizing them. What's the deal with that? Because it might just be like no one's ever asked before.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. This is the best time to do, as opposed to, I think, having worked there for 2 years and you know the policy on it, and you're like, hey, I'm going to take those, though. Those are mine now.
I'm going to go load my trunk on my break.
One strong move would be to start fishing them out of the dumpster and then saying, anybody going to eat these? No?
I'm starving.
I'm so hungry. And you throw them, then you throw them in the truck. Say, I'll eat these later when I can cook them the right way.
The problem with this is that if you leave those plants long enough, they will regain value as beautiful, loamy compost. Like,
yeah.
That's the cycle. That's the cycle.
Good shit.
So if you take them out there, you're stealing compost, really. Mm. Now, if they're in the dumpster, I don't know how effectively, you know. It's not like they got some worms in there or something to help break those down. I think that'll probably just
dumpsters can have worms in them for sure.
That's true, but I don't feel like they're going to be able to do their grim work for long enough to get that rich, loamy, nutrient packed, just like now, choice.
Let me throw this out. You take those plants, you go home, you nurture them, then you sell them back to the greenhouse. That's profit, baby. That's profit. Where you're like, I fixed these, you can sell them again. I got into this grift with my aquarium. I bought some snails. The snails laid eggs, made snail babies. And then the aquarium was like, oh, you can sell those snails back to us for store credit. Now, I didn't do that, and I've got an aquarium full of snails because I was too lazy to fish them out of there, and they ended up growing on me. But I'm just saying that this is a
literally
pattern. No,
do you have barnacles, Travis?
Yes, Brody. Just like the pirates in Pirates of the Caribbean 2 and 3.
That is an astounding level of plant confidence that I cannot relate to.
No
way.
If
I look at a plant, I'm pretty sure, like, I've had really bad luck. I tried to plant some pear trees and some berry bushes.
Oh, no.
And not a single one has survived to this point. And to think that you would look at some dead-ass plants in a dumpster and be like, what's up? I got you. You're coming with me. I'm going to Finding Forrester you. Oh, see, I'm the confidence.
I'm good with plants, but not deer. It's a different thing. A deer try and kill my plants. I'm in deer fucking. Oh. But I'm good with plants, so I would do this. But I do think I wouldn't take too many. How many plants can you save at one time? You're not Superman.
That's true. You don't want to be so bogged down by the plants you're trying to save that you forget the your job and family
and the plants your family plants, which is what I call my kids.
Griffin, you look confused a little bit. Are you okay?
I'm just sort of struggling with the idea of saving a plant.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, Griffin, not even cloaking it.
That kind of gives me free range to say, like, yeah, man, they're just plants.
No, what? Like,
we don't have to worry about everything. You know what I mean?
Stop. There have to be. Listen, I'm not minimizing this. Because really, who saved who is what I'm saying is my big thing that I always say.
That one is actually pretty clear cut in the plant world.
We need plants, Jesse. You can't shit on plants. Actually, you can't.
Talking
they love
about
it,
but Swamp Thing, the plant was saved by the person every time.
Yeah, you say that until you're having an asthma attack, so you start huffing that pure oxygen coming right off them. Then who saved who? Justin?
I love getting close enough to trees to huff the good beer stuff.
You must, Travis, respect the fact that there is a huge difference between the stance that you're proposing I have, which is me standing in front of a raging forest fire and being like, yeah, fuck all these guys, versus me looking at some plants in a dumpster and being like, shame.
Those are
God,
free plants,
I bet.
I love plants.
Right. I'm not an eco-terrorist for saying that if a plant in my yard dies or starts to get a little bit brown, my immediate thought is not like, I'm going to give this thing a transfusion of my own human blood.
No, because that wouldn't help it, Griffin. Unless it's Audrey too.
We don't know that for sure. I'm glad that there are people out there who look at dumpster plants and say, I could do something with that. I'm just not one of them.
I see. Okay. No. I didn't realize you were so cold.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying.
Just busy, I guess.
Well, you know? Can make time for Mother Earth, for Gaia.
Not Mother Earth.
No. Nope.
Not Mother Earth. Just a few plants.
Where do you think those bitches come from? The moon?
Just a few plants.
Oh.
Hey.
I want a munch.
Squad.
Sorry, I was taking a drink of coffee.
But I want to munch.
Fuck.
Squad.
Came in too hot that time.
Welcome to Munch Squad's podcast. Within a podcast, profiling latest and greatest in brand eating. Just this one is a little interesting. This one's interesting.
I would hope so.
You guys know Papa Murphy's?
No.
It's Papa Murphy's Steak and Bake Pizza. On January 9th, this story came across QSR. Papa Murphy's Steak and Bake Pizza is delighted to relaunch the XLNY pizza nationwide beginning today, January 9th. The XLNY pizza is an extra large New York style pizza that offers everything you'd expect. Hot. And
is that a typo? If it's extra large, shouldn't it be EL pizza? I'm confused.
Sorry, Travis, you're being kind of silly, and I don't love that. Oh. A pizza this big is only $9.99, and there's a bundle or something. It's the big game is coming up. You know, it's a big game. So you can get this take and bake pizza. And they say that we value our guests. We want to show them appreciation. The zesty flavors combined with a foldable New York style crust puts an exciting twist on pizza. I mean, I would argue it doesn't. It's just that's still pizza.
It's pizza.
Yeah. That's from January 9th. January 10th, Pizza Hut's Big New Yorker returns to menu after 24
Shit.
Years.
Whoa. Wow.
Are you fucking with me right now, Pizza Hut?
Whoa.
Really?
So the XLNY and
gobbles
then-
a little bit, gobbles a small crumb off the throne.
And 24 hours later-
Not even that, it sounds like.
24 years.
What?
Oh, I understand. Yes. Okay.
I was confused.
Okay. 24. Yes. 24 years after Pizza Hut stop and 24 hours after Papa Murphy starts, Pizza Hut's like, let us get back in the game.
Do you think that was like one person pulled the trigger on like, oh yeah, Papa Murphy's? Well, we're going to do it too. And then the rest of Pizza was like, whoa, dude, we're not prepared for this at all. Now, what are you doing?
I don't want you guys to get this confused with Pizza Hut's Bigfoot pizza.
I was going
to say.
Which was invented by
Dr. Reggie Fils-Aimé. This is the different pizza. This is not the Bigfoot. It's not the Bigfoot. It's the Big New Yorker. And it's back after 24 years. They just announced their famous 16-inch New York-style pizza will return to the menu. The iconic pizza will be available at participating Pizza Hut restaurants. We'd love to visit the Pizza Hut. It's like, no.
No way.
We only do margarita pizza.
Yeah,
we tried. They were way too heavy to pick up. Couldn't do it.
Justin, is this one of those scenarios, is like Papa Murphy's, like the generic brand of Pizza Hut, where it's just like you go to Pizza Hut to get a baked one, go to Papa Murphy's to get one and bake it yourself.
Travis, I don't know, but I mean, it's a 24-hour difference. You know, who saves who? One order. Okay, so each 16-inch pizza features six oversized foldable slices with crispy crust and bold flavors. Now, I would say six seems like too few for a 16-inch pizza. They also say they're oversized. Hey, you guys sized them.
Yeah.
Just cut it different. Like that's different. That's on you.
I'm not imagining it. You could easily make that 12, 24, heck, 8, 10, number, really.
Heck, infinite.
Yeah.
Pizza cutting technology.
You could cut that baby in squares. You get an odd number then if you want to.
Features bold flavors, including sweet marinara sauce and Parmesan Reggiano. Seasoning on top to mimic.
She said cheese seasoning.
Parmesan Reggiano seasoning on top to mimic an authentic New York pizzeria build. One order of the Big New Yorker extra large pizza comes with double pepperoni. Pizza lovers may remember the iconic menu item from when it was first introduced in 1999. Since being retired from the menu, there have been numerous different requests for Pizza Hut to bring back the Big New Yorker.
But until there were shots fired by Bubba Murphy's.
Right. In fact, the company has seen everything from social media accounts dedicated to its hopeful return, Reddit threads. A Reddit thread?
Get out.
Wow. That,
whoa.
Whoa.
They don't just make those for anyone, guys.
And then there's even a change.org petition with thousands of signatures to bring back the pizza on menus. Quote, "The Big New Yorker was a huge hit when we launched it in 1999, setting the stage for future industry innovations like Pizza Hut Melts and Detroit style pizza." Pizza Hut Melts is also the headline after a tragic, cheese accident. This entire Pizza Hut has melted. At 30% larger than our large pizza, now is the perfect time to answer our customers' requests and bring back the Big New Yorker in a big way right before, wink, the big game.
This is so wild because I mean, I remember, I'm sure you guys do too, you know, the Big New York Pizza made its premiere in 1999, and it played the fuck out of that game. Played the fuck out of that game for many years, then blew out its knee. Right, yeah. There had to retire. And to see that he's coming back in time for the big game? Because why else would you retire a pizza that's so fucking popular that there's a Reddit thread about it? And then wait, man. 24 years to say, what if it was a big pizza?
What yeah, man, we all miss the new Big New Yorker. Its shinbone exploded in that one game against Detroit.
But bring it back.
It was actually tragically injured trying to rescue people from a melting Pizza Hut. They ran in against all...
And if his son, Big New York Jr., which don't get it twisted, is bigger, it's just the name, because that's how a naming convention works. It's not smaller.
Do you think Reggie Fils-Aimé was on the phone 24 hours after this with Pizza Hut? Like, it's time, bitch! Let's go!
I think he was on the phone. He was on the phone with Pizza Hut 2 hours after Papa Murphy's made their announcement. Like, he kicked in the door like, are you ready? It's time. The prodigal son is ready to come home. You must forgive me now.
Someone's out pizza'd the hut. What are you going to do?
Will you allow this? You've forgotten the face of your father, Pizza Hut. You're allowing yourself to be out pizza'd. Or my name's not Dr. Reggie Fils-Aimé. I'm sorry. This one is more PSA, and I know we just covered a lot of pizza stuff, but I have to keep abreast of this situation. We got a new chicken sandwich from Golden Chick, which I think in a real impressive bit of honesty here is calling it the Big and Wicked Chicken Sandwich, which I think introducing a new chicken sandwich at this point is wicked, and yeah. I think it yeah. should be actually sure. illegal. People have been hurt. People in these chicken sandwich war.
Sometimes innocent bystanders.
It's possible they've been in the foxholes for the last like 4 or 5 years and like they're just coming out. Yeah, they've been workshopping this for so long, they can't not fire it, you know?
This feels like the first time one of them has written a press release, though, because it's the new offering begins with a hand-breaded all-white meat chicken breast that is fried to golden perfection and then coated in Golden Chick's spicy lot of zing seasoning blend as soon as it gets out of the fryer. It's a lot of detail there. I don't know. You need to know exactly when you do it.
Yeah, I can make one of these myself now. I don't need your shit.
I would also say if you're writing a press release for a chicken sandwich, I think everyone reading is going to assume it starts with chicken. I think you can just say like, so standard chicken. You know, it's chicken on bread.
Bog standard chickens. You know, a chicken sandwich, you must know by now, right?
But then we do our thing and put our weird sauce on it.
It's then placed on the brand's iconic extra large fresh baked yeast roll and topped with a lot of zing sauce and 5 pickles to create a tantalizing sandwich that is sure to leave mouths watering. You know, I hope it doesn't leave my mouth watering after I've consumed it. That would be a really unfortunate side effect, maybe from the spiciness of the lot of zing sauce.
Quote, that is both soaked in and covered in, it sounds like.
Menu innovation sits at the forefront of our plans for 2023, says Mark Parmerly, president and chairman of Golden Chick. The popularity and rave feedback that has surrounded previous creations like the Big and Golden and Nashville Hot gave us the inspiration.
You didn't create
adapting.
Nashville Hot. Nashville Hot has been a thing for us. Don't try to take Nashville Hot.
Yeah. We're excited to continue to introduce unique combinations to customers that keep them excited about our brand and coming back for more. Our innovation strategy has introduced our brands to many new customers in the past several years.
Dozens.
In 2022, we had 4 successful limited time offering campaigns, each driving double digit traffic counts. Our latest creation.
That doesn't seem like very
many
people.
That's a joke, right? Is this a joke? Is this all a joke?
Double digit traffic counts. That means
somewhere between 10 and 99 people.
Somewhere between 10 and 99 cars, I guess, or people. I don't know, Travis. I don't understand it either.
That can't be what it says, Justin. It can't be like we were so successful, 10 people came.
Our chief marketing officer, Howard Terry, waxed poetic about this bad boy when he said, our latest creation, the Big and Wicked Chicken Sandwich, was consumer tested extensively. I imagine my relief, Terry. It would be pretty weird for you to be like, eat this or don't. We don't care about like man. It.
We didn't have time to get it past the FDA. I don't know, man.
Oh no. If you find chunks, just throw them out. He says,
we bought these from a friend of ours who said he got them from his cousin. I don't know, man.
It was consumer tested extensively, and we are very optimistic about its success. Terry, my man, it would be wild if the inverse was true.
We're just really pot committed at this point, and we've gone so far we can't.
You might like it.
I don't know, man. None of
Golden
us do.
Chick but half-heartedly shoves new sandwich across the counter and then leaves room.
Hey, please enjoy the new Is This Anything sandwich.
Let's just say we got 4 crates of chuckin' off the back of a truck, and you need to eat this today because it can't be refrigerated.
But I would eat it before you get home just to be safe.
Howard Terry, Big and Wicked Chicken Sandwich was consumer tested extensively, and we're very optimistic about its success. There's a lot going on with that sandwich. A fresh baked bun, hand breaded chicken breasts, 5 pickles.
5.
Plus our signature lot of zing sauce. Is the number of pickles important? I'm not a pickle guy.
That's how you get the circle, Justin. 4 pickles is the square. That's not it. 5 is the closest you get. I'm just saying that.
Pentagram.
I don't think you can say there's a lot going on with that sandwich, then list off 4 elements.
Yeah.
That's a lot more.
Because that's not a lot of elements, Mr. Larry.
He's like, oh man, this sandwich is wild. It's got a bun and meat and 2 toppings. This thing's
a lot,
out of control.
Man. It's hard to keep up with. In fact, some people might not get all the elements of it sometimes. Can you? It's a lot to keep up with.
Please give us a little bit of grace as our chefs work to really nail the number of pickles. Oh, wait, did you put hot on that one? No, I forgot to do hot on that one. Damn it.
Was that 6 pickles? We're bankrupt.
No. Oh, shit, I forgot flavor on that one. Shit. I knew there was something.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself and you had a beautiful time. We're so happy to have you here with us continually. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I want to tell you guys about some stuff I'm really excited about.
Oh, okay.
Just in my life. Over the merch store, we got new dice designed by maker Evelyn and created in partnership with Die Hard Dice. And they are based off of Adventure Zone Amnesty. They are the Amnesty Flamebright dice. They are so beautiful.
They are really beautiful.
Cool. I also want to tell you about, oh my God. So we did an Adventure Zone live show in Washington, D.C., with DM guest game mom Brennan Lee Mulligan, in which an element of it was cornhole. And we've got a cornhole for your soul sticker designed by Kate
this
May.
This episode just went up as we're recording this today.
Yes.
I'm so excited for it. If you haven't listened to it, even if you don't listen to Adventure Zone at all, it doesn't matter. Just please go listen to the Dadlands 2 episode. Would you guys say it, the wildest audience response we've ever had to anything we've ever done, that everyone in the room, us included, losing their minds. You will not believe it.
We also have based on, in case you didn't know, most every Monday, the 3 of us are doing game streams around about 11 a.m. over on the McRoy Family YouTube. And we've done a couple different things. We just played, what's that game called?
Sea of Thieves?
Sea of Thieves. Just played Sea of Thieves. And there's a we got an enamel pin. It says, there's a rudeness based on the fact that we maybe get...
It's one of our great catchphrases, okay?
Yeah. And 10% of... 10% of all merch proceeds this month go to races. It promotes justice by providing free and low-cost legal services to underserved immigrant children, families, and refugees. McElroyMerch.com.
Hey, I just put up all the music from the first season of The Adventure Zone EtherC on my Bandcamp page. If you go to bit.ly/EtherC Volume 1, you can find it there. It's 28 tracks, I think, and you name your own price and all sales for that. And all the albums from The Adventure Zone through the month of January will be donated to Earth Justice, which is an amazing climate nonprofit. Also, the 11th Hour graphic novel, the latest Adventure Zone graphic novel, comes out February 21st. That's very, very soon. If you go to theadventurezonecomic.com, you can pre-order it. And you can submit your receipt for the pre-order to bit.ly/11thhourpreorder, and you'll get a lenticular sticker featuring art from the book.
Awesome. Awesome. And now, the end of the show. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow, I can't believe how long that went. I thought for sure one of us was going to hop in there.
No. I was actually challenging myself to hold it as long as I could.
Okay.
In a very tantric way.
But people got to listen. But people
do need to listen, so we do need to say something to take us out, take it away.
Okay. Kate Mulgrew was on Cowboys of Moo Mesa as Barb Wire Babs.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This is my brother, me, kiss your dad square on the lips. That'll get us through a few months, is just listening to cast from Cowboys.
Yeah, for sure.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.